It didn't sound human. It didn't sound like a bear. It didn't sound. It almost sounded like almost like a primate. It's just, it's so hard to describe because it's not like anything I had ever heard before. And it didn't sound like, it sounded like it was definitely a language.
Welcome back to Bigfoot Society. In this episode, we welcome back Gabe and his girlfriend Tamara, who share about Bigfoot encounters they've had in northern Georgia. What was the language that Tamara heard that one day? And what was watching Gabe and Tamara in their kayaks from the side of the Etowah River? Find out this and more on Bigfoot Society. Well, all right, let's get her on then.
All right, here she is.
Hi there. My name is Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
And hi there. So I've been, I actually, Gabe and I grew up together in Indiana, but I moved to Georgia in 2001. He didn't move down to Georgia until 2021. So I've been here for quite a long time. I started hiking in 2019, so I'm just hitting that 5-year anniversary of being a hiker. I always hike alone. I hike by myself. I really enjoy just being in nature, being out by myself, being alone. A lot of people, I really don't care what people think. There's different opinions on it, but I do practice grounding. Other people call it earthing, where you physically just take your shoes and your socks off and you actually connect with the earth. I do that on every hike. I do this in water. If there's water, I'm getting in the water. But I've been doing this alone up until Gabe came down here. I've been hiking alone. So I've taken him back to trails that I'd been on before, and it's funny because I've never really, I mean, I've heard, just being in the North Georgia area, I mean, there's the Bigfoot Museum up here, and I've heard, like, oh, there's sightings, there's this, there's that. I just kind of thought, well, you know, I haven't actually seen it with my own eyes, so I don't believe and I don't not believe, but I didn't really have an opinion of it. There was one particular trail that I was on. And this is, like he said, I'll use the All Trails app. I'd like to go where there's no other people. I had made it all the way into this trail. It was about maybe 4.5-5 miles in. It was during the summer. Made it to the waterfall. I was coming on my way back, and I needed to just pretty much get off the trail, and I had to pee. So I looked and I'm like, okay, there's a boulder right there. I'm going to get off this trail. Of course, it's summertime. The grass is almost knee high. Got off the trail, maybe 10 feet behind this boulder, and went to get back up. And all of a sudden I was just afraid. I consider myself pretty fearless. And brave. Nothing scares me. I'm not afraid to be in the woods at night. I'm not afraid to be alone. I grew up in the country in Indiana. I used to sleep outside. I'm really not a paranoid or fearful person. So, this particular day, and it was funny, it wasn't until a few years later talking to him about it. But I was just all of a sudden just very disoriented. I couldn't think straight. I was terrified. I was paranoid. I felt like, I didn't feel like I was lost, but I felt like something was trying to get me, which it's not my character. I'm very clear-headed. I'm a rational thinker. I could not find the trail. And I knew that there was this boulder and it was 10 feet this way. And it probably took me 20 minutes to get back on this trail. And my ears were ringing and I was just very confused. And my thoughts were foggy and I couldn't think straight. And I almost felt like I was drugged. It's really a hard feeling to describe. And just between being confused and being panicked at the same time, it just took me a very long time to get back on the trail. And I just, what got me there was like, go back to where you hear water, because I had followed, a river going in. And I finally got back on it and just started running and running and running. And I ran for a good mile. And I finally started getting more of a clear head on my way out. And I was like, you just got lost. You got paranoid. You went into kind of fight or flight mode. Well, fast forward a couple years later, I take him back to the same trail. And I'm like, this is the trail that messed me up. And you remember that one?
It looked like a war zone.
Yeah. I will say this is, I can say this is pretty much, a lot of this takes place up in the Chattahoochee-Oconee National Forest, which I don't know if you know this area, but it spans a big part of the North Georgia. The Appalachian Trail is part of it. So there's so many areas to hike. It's just a vast forest system. I take him on this trail, and as soon as we get in there, he's like, okay, look at this. And I remember seeing these things, but not thinking anything of it. When we say tree breaks and tree bends, we're talking, you know, trees that are broken. You've got one side of the mountain going up, and you think, okay, if a storm came through and the wind blows, you would think that a tree is going to fall, you know, towards down, like towards gravity, but they're broken in the other way. And some of them are twisted. They're young trees, but they're bigger around than my arm or my calf. And they're really, really high up, and they're bent and twisted almost strategically. And some of them are bent down where they're kind of twisted together and form a structure. And you're thinking, okay, my mind automatically goes to, how could this have naturally happened? Like, could this tree have fallen and knocked this tree over? And so I always try to just kind of ration it out and think, how could this have naturally happened? And honestly, we've got so many pictures and video stuff. If it weren't for him coming down and explaining all this to me and showing me this, now this is what I'm looking for. And I'm seeing a lot of stuff that makes me question, you know, just question the everything. And I've found one of the footprints. I've found one of the handprints. I've heard the noises. The story he was telling you about when we were, we had stopped in a creek and he was smoking his cigar. I actually was in the water practicing grounding. It's kind of, I submerged myself in water. It's almost a form of meditation. And I could hear those voices too. And I do remember him hearing, like he said, I heard the one. And it just sounded kind of this low rumbling growl. It didn't sound like words. It didn't sound like, I know what bears sound like. I've seen bears. I know what feral hogs sound like. I haven't seen them. I don't want to see them. I've seen their tracks, and then I'll turn around and go the other way. But I know what all the animals of these forests look like and sound like. It didn't sound like any animal I've ever heard.
Tamara, do you feel that there were two individuals talking to each other, or did it sound just like just one individual?
No, there were two. There were multiple ones. And it was crazy because I'm sitting in the water, and looking back, you think that that would make me just really freak out. I'm hearing this, and I remember because I was kind of on a small waterfall, and I was kind of laying on my stomach. I was just letting the water flow over me. And I stopped and I just looked at him, and he's looking at me, and I could hear them. And at first I thought, I can only hear this in my head. And I wonder if he can hear this too. And he could. And I could hear from one side, a chatter, and then I would hear a voice from way on the other side. It was a different voice. It sounded like the same form of communication. It seemed like the same, I don't want to use the word animal, but the same being. But it wasn't words that were making out. It was just kind of an indistinct kind of chatter. But the feeling that I got, when I say I could kind of feel them in my head, which sounds really, really weird. I know it sounds strange, but I'm just going to just come out and say it. I felt like they were just, I didn't feel like we were in danger. And I told him that. I told Gabe that. I said, they're curious about me and what I'm doing. Because I was meditating, I was doing grounding. And I said, they're just curious. And they seemed kind of surprised to me. I felt that feeling, like I could almost like pick up an emotion.
Like they could feel you feeling it.
I don't know. It was just a really weird experience. It's nothing I'd ever experienced before, but it wasn't negative, like where I was afraid and disoriented and confused. And it wasn't like that at all. I felt like, I wasn't in any harm, that I wasn't going to be harmed. I felt like it was okay. I just felt like they were, like, I kind of caught whoever it was off guard, and they were just very curious. So, but still, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get out of this water and get dried off and just keep on hiking. Let's go on ahead and get on out of here. So that was one experience, and it was, really interesting. It wasn't a negative one, but
that was last fall.
Yeah, that was last fall.
Tamara, when you've been out hiking, have you experienced or heard any other type of vocalizations? Or is that the main time that you actually heard something when you were out there?
This was the first vocalization that I had heard. And I try to be very quiet when I'm out and about. I don't hike with groups or any of the touristy crowded areas, but I had never heard a vocalization before. So it was actually really cool to hear it. And it didn't sound human. It didn't sound like a bear. It almost sounded like a primate. It's so hard to describe because it's not like anything I'd ever heard before. And it sounded like it was definitely a language and not just a noise. You know, it sounded like a foreign language, but it was just so hard to describe. It sounded almost kind of, if a primate, like a great ape or a gorilla were talking. Similar. That's the most similar I could get. It sounded a little more advanced, like their voice would sound like if they were talking, but they were lower in tone, and it projected farther away. But it was hard because you've got the water rushing, and then you've got the mountain up, and everything kind of bounces off. There's a lot of rocks up in the mountain, so it's hard to tell what direction it's coming from and how far away it is, but it was very distinct. That's the only time I'd actually heard anything. They get in my head. And so now that when we hike, I'm like the Bigfoot barometer, like a,
so everyone's looking at you. Are you hearing anything? Yeah.
I actually don't like it because it's not cool knowing that. I don't know. It's when you have a good experience like that, when you're getting a calming feeling, like it's okay, they're just curious.
But then there's the one where we got chased.
And then the one where we got chased, and that was weird because I had actually kind of got off the trail and I was just chattering on about some kind of flower that was blooming, I think. Yeah. I was like, look at, and then all of a sudden, I just felt like I was just drugged again, and I felt disoriented, and I felt sick. And all of a sudden, I'm like low blood sugar or something. I was like, oh, I don't feel good. I was starting to kind of sway a little bit and lose my balance, and I couldn't talk right. And I'm like, I don't feel so good. And then he, you know, kind of got a bad feeling. He's like, we got to get out of here now. And we got out of there, and he had to kind of drag me. And it's crazy because something kind of takes over, and you just kind of lose your sense of direction, and you lose your sense of control of logic. Like, you're afraid, but you're disoriented, and you're kind of stunned. It's not a good feeling. I don't like being the canary. I don't know if it's because of all the grounding that I practice, and trying to be as connected to the earth as possible. I'm kind of the environmental hippie girl, so I try to stay very connected to Mother Earth.
Nothing wrong with that, for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's who I am, but. There was a third time, wasn't there? I don't know. We've been on so many hikes. It's kayaking on the kayak trip.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Do you want to hear about the kayak?
I would love to hear whatever you guys have to share. So go right ahead.
This one was last summer.
Okay.
We were kayaking, and we come up to this beach, and she decided she wanted to get out and she wanted to swim a little bit in the river. Now, this isn't a creek, it's the river. So she's on the other side of the river.
This is the Etowah River.
Yeah, the Etowah. And she's swimming, just chilling, just swimming, thinking around, whatever. And I'm sitting on the other side of the bank on the beach, just chilling and watching her. And she starts getting this weird feeling. And I look up, and I see one pull its head back. It was just like you see a tree, and then you see a lump move. That was it, like a peekaboo type thing. And then that's when she started feeling her feeling that she gets. And needless to say, after that, then she shot back across the river, and we kept on going.
So, like I said, I kayak a lot too. I do a lot of river cleanups. Where I'm pulling tires out of the rivers. I'm jumping in and out. I am not afraid to be in these rivers up in the mountains. I'm always in them. And in this particular river, I was like walking up the edge of the banks as far as I could, and then I kind of jump in and just kind of float down and swim and let the current kind of take me. And I go swimming past him, and I'd be like, hey, come on, come in and swim. And he just wasn't in the mood to swim. And I'm not afraid to be in the water at all. So I was getting close to the banks, and all of a sudden I was just afraid to be in the water. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here. And kind of simultaneously, he's looking at me like, we got to go, come on. And he's waving at me, and he's like, get out of there. Come on, we got to go. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on it. And I start swimming, you know, against the current as fast as I can. And I just all of a sudden felt like something was wrong. That same feeling that I got when I was on that hike by myself, that just something was wrong, and I was disoriented again, and I shouldn't have been there. And I was afraid, and that's not like me. And
I think in that case, you just got too close, and then
I did, because it didn't happen until I got too close to that part of the part of the banks. I don't know. And you know, it's the Etowah River goes through a lot of parts of there's some pretty dense forests that no, there's not hiking trails in there. No one hikes in. We were on that part is Dawson Forest, right? There's not a lot of hiking in Dawson Forest, and like we were on that portion of the Etowah, where you can be on the Etowah, but you really can't be on the Dawson Forest side. There's no hiking. They don't allow you to bank your kayak there. They don't want you to be on to explore there on that side. So, it was interesting that I was fine just having a good old time floating around, messing around, swimming, and then all of a sudden I'm just terrified for no reason whatsoever.
Have there been reported sightings in that area as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What's great about and I can say this just by, if you go to have you been to the, I don't know, you're out, you're in a different state. There's a Bigfoot museum, and you know, when he moved down here, I took him here, and I had been to Blue Ridge, Georgia a million times, and I've always passed the Bigfoot Museum, and I thought it was just some touristy little gift shop with knickknacks and t-shirts and hats, but I took him there because he really wanted to go when he first moved down here, and I was blown away with all of the scientific evidence and the documentation, but they have a map of the state of Georgia, and they have a little pin marked of all of the sightings, and all of they've got this really great library of where everyone has actually had actual sightings or experiences. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, holy cow, this is where I hike, this is where I'm at all the time. Like all of the heavy sightings, like around the Appalachian Trail and the Chattahoochee Oconee area, and this whole part of North Georgia that is my turf, you know, and there's all these sightings there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this whole time I've been going here all the time by myself, alone, right here all the time. Yes, it's a very heavily active area for sightings. We went on this one trail, and the way I took it, they were the, when we say like the tree breaks are almost like warnings, like don't come past this. You know, you'll see them. It's odd. You'll see them on one side of the trail prominently and not the other. And I'm not sure if you're a hiker. Are you a hiker?
I used to be a lot more. I've hiked the Appalachian Trail, all of Massachusetts and Connecticut. I grew up in New England, but so I have a history back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. So you know how there's one side and there's the other.
Sure.
So when we get on these trails, some of them just right off the bat, as soon as you get on these trails, one side, which tends to be the side of the side of where the elevation is going up, there's going to be all of the structures and the tree breaks and the tree bends. And that's where we see that. And some of them, as soon as you get on that trail, and it's funny because these trails aren't I love all trails because people will complain. They'll say, I never got to the waterfall. I couldn't find it. The trail's not marked. The parking lot's not marked. The forest system is not keeping up with this trail. Those are the ones we go to. And I used to, before I met him, I used to blaze the trails. I used to bring blazing equipment. I would make sure I got it marked, and then I would go back and I would blaze it so other hikers wouldn't get lost. And now, seeing what I'm seeing, I'm like, no, I'm going to leave this trail alone, and I'm not going to blaze it and make it easy for other people to find.
There's a reason the forestry doesn't keep up with it. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
So now I'm respecting that, and I've stopped blazing the trails, and I'll find it and just do the best I can to find these trails and enjoy them.
Yeah, like for instance, the one that she was talking about where she had her first infrasound, when I went on this trail, we got to this one section, and it looked like it had just been ravaged. There were trees probably 6 to 8 inches around, pulled up out of the ground, laid across the trail all the way 50 yards, and you couldn't find where these trees just fell over. There were no stumps. There was no root balls. There was no holes where they came from. They were picked up and put here. It didn't matter. And there was tree bends. There was twisted breaks. I mean, it looked like a tornado or a hurricane went through there. And here's the thing. It was in a valley. So, and these trees were no order. There was no order to it. Like I said, you couldn't see where they fell over, because that's the first thing I started doing, is I started looking to see if these trees just fell over, if they were broken from up top and they just fell down from a dead tree or whatever. These weren't. These were placed here in this area. And it went, like I said, it went on for 50 yards. And it took us 30 minutes to walk through this at 50 yards, because we had to walk over all these trees to get through this area. It was insane.
Several years ago, when I had went on that trail, I took pictures and I had posted it on Facebook. And I said, I've got an obstacle course for a trail today. Remember? And yeah. Then I took them back to it. And they were still there, and he's like,
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
I had no idea back then.
It had been done a long time ago. It wasn't anything fresh, but nonetheless, it was there. I mean, it was pretty obvious to me, but.
Wow, that you guys have some fascinating stories. You're definitely in an area where things are going on. Tamara, I want to just verify with you. You haven't had a sighting yourself yet, correct?
I have not.
Okay. I have a feeling one day you will, though.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
For as much as I've noticed down here, just evidence and signs. It's inevitable. When I found my first track down here, it was odd. It was almost like, it almost looked like there's deer tracks mixed in with tracks on the trail. And to me, it looked like they were herding deer to a valley, because the trail kind of went around and there was a bowl down to the left, or to the, anyways, it looked like they were running down the trail herding deer to one massive area, because then all of a sudden the tracks, the footprints stopped, and then the deer tracks went right down into this bowl, and then that was it. And you could see where the leaves were tore up. You could see dirt torn up. It looked pretty torn up. I mean, and you could see on the side of the trail where it looked like a foot was sliding down the side of the trail about every 10 feet.
Well, not to be too descriptive, but in that area, did you find any bones or... anything like that?
Here's the thing. When we see signs and tree breaks and bends and stuff like that, we don't venture off the trail.
I gotcha. I'm not
going to push my luck.
Yeah.
You know, because the trails that we're on, we're five miles away from the road, the paved road at some point.
Okay. So you're in very remote areas too.
I don't want to get stuck out there.
Yeah.
You put your phone up and there's nothing.
Wow.
So, when we see stuff like that, we just stick to the trail, and we'll observe and look. And But as far as getting off the trail, nah, it ain't happening.
Hmm.
I was born at 9, but it wasn't last night.
I like that. Gabe and Tamara, this has been a super fun chat. I know it's getting late where you guys are at because you're ahead of me. But, man, I feel like I might be talking to you. I feel like you guys are going to have some more situations come up in the future. So I think we need to definitely keep in touch with me. If anything else happens, let me know, Gabe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got
plenty more from Indiana.
Oh, you do? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, absolutely.
You're killing me, Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna have to do a part two someday, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah. This has been fun.
Yeah, this has been a good time. I have a feeling people are gonna be saying, when are you gonna get Gabe and Tamara back on? But this has been super fun. Thank you for chatting, and I appreciate you guys chatting with me tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. The way I see it, like I texted you earlier, the way I see it is if I can, her and I can get on here and we can tell our stories, maybe there's somebody else out there listening that's too afraid to tell their story. Maybe this will give them the courage to come out and not feel so bad about it. You know, who cares what anybody thinks? I know what I saw. I know what's out there. That's all I care about.
Become a supporting member of the Bigfoot Society podcast by going to www.patreon.com/thebigfootsociety and receive extra episodes and early ad-free episodes as well. If you've got a personal Bigfoot encounter to share, please contact me at bigfootsociety@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.